How did you guys form the Federation? Did you form the Federation at the same time that, well, no, that wouldn't have worked out. They first came to clinic, right?
Right.
Then when did you form the Federation?
The Federation was formed in 75.
Mm-hmm.
We had, before that, we had a loose
network.
And, you know, here again, there were, and there still are.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you could take months discussing this. But there's another very important difference of, you know, what a feminist women's health center is as compared to, you know, a women's clinic.
Yeah.
Now, I don't mean to, I know that when I say that, maybe some people might think that it's an invidious comparison, you know, and that's their problem. But I'm trying to explain what the Federation is.
Mm-hmm.
And why, because we wanted to be more than just a community clinic.
Mm-hmm.
We wanted to make an impact. And unfortunately, the decisions that have impact on women's lives are not made locally. They're made nationally or internationally.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's where the action is.
Mm-hmm.
So we have organized ourselves on a national and international basis. And that requires really close cooperation with all the health centers that belong. I mean, we have fax machines, and we just fax things to each other like mad. We have telephones. We run up to each bill. We rotate around to our different, you know, people go and spend, you know, a month, 3 months at a sister health center.
Mm-hmm.
We travel around the world. We, you know, go to Nicaragua. We go to Europe, to New Zealand, to Canada, to Australia, to China, you know, because that's part of our politics. And so it means, I mean, I suppose if we wanted to put all our money into bookkeeping, we could keep it all straight, but we don't. We just pour in a lot of our monies into these activities still. Which a lot of women's clinics have decided not to do that, you know? They feel like they would rather lower the price of abortion, or they'd rather get paid themselves salaries or take vacations or whatever. So we have the Federation is a very tightly knit group, and we meet, you know, at least two or three times a year.
Mm-hmm.
We go to conferences together, you know, coordinate, etc. So that was, and we actually formed very specifically at the 1975 Conference on Women and Health in Mexico City. So, I mean, that's when we all went down there and found out how hated the American feminist movement was by women around the world for a lot of the reasons that I'm saying that. The third world women shared our point of view on so many issues. It was great. From that standpoint, it was great to be affirmed and great to, you know, be linked up with women internationally that shared our point of view and not be the minority. You know, but here we have been and still are the minority.
Oh yeah, the national attack. You talked about a national attack and off our backs.
Mm-hmm.
What was that about? The structure or?
Yeah, it was a lot of the same kinds of issues. I'm trying to think. I don't think I can just lay my hands on a copy right now.
I think it's microfilmed
at UCLA,
which is probably why I haven't been
able
to look at it yet, so.
Yeah, I can get a hold of that. Yeah, that was probably the most complete concerted attack on it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, it basically accused a couple of people in the Orange County, it was mostly focused on the Orange County Health Center.
Mm-hmm.
It accused them of, and me, I got brought in, just paying ourselves big salaries and I don't remember all the gist of it, but it was on a very personal level.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was that level of attack, not so much on what direction mm-hmm. that we wanted to take or anything. It was all on that we were bad people,
mm-hmm.
you know, impugning our motives. But off our backs, if you know anything about the newspaper, has had a few, they regularly have a change. So wait 6 months, you know, and you'll get along with them, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever your problem is, just wait 6 months, it'll go away.
Mm-hmm.
And that was that particular manifestation of off our backs
mm-hmm.
that we had the problem with. Today we have wonderful relationships.
Who started the Orange County? Was it somebody from your group?
From our group and also from women in Orange County.
Mm-hmm.
It was a combination. Lorraine Rossum is the person that started the LA House of Women,
mm-hmm.
and that she lives in Orange County. So then she teamed up with Eleanor Snow
mm-hmm.
and other women, Ruth Wade and
mm-hmm.
others. To start the Orange County House.
Oh, I saw an article about a Feminist Women Health Center conference in Tallahassee, Florida.
Oh, the Watch Conference.
Yeah, where you took over a TV station or?
A hospital.
A hospital.
We didn't take over, but we went in and...
With the TV crew, was that the deal?
Yeah.
Okay.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
How can you decide to do? Okay, so it's all the people who are involved in the Federation, right?
It wasn't. It was broader than that.
Uh huh.
We had about 50 people
mm-hmm.
from various women's clinics around the country.
Mm-hmm. And you're in Florida for a convention?
Well, our own.
Your convention.
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. It's called. We formed an organization called Women Acting Together to Combat Harassment.
Mm-hmm.
And the main goal of the conference.
Mm-hmm.
was to fight off the different attacks that we were under.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the health centers have never 1 minute been not under attack.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think I told you they're trying to put 6 women in jail
yeah.
in Chicago right now. So, I mean, that is a very big hallmark
mm-hmm.
of our organization, is that the powers that be see us as much more threatening than
mm-hmm.
other women. Organization. And so we do get a lot of attacks. Anyway, in this particular case, we were the attackers.
Mm-hmm.
We had, as I say, spent several days talking about licensing problems, Medi-Cal problems, funding problems, undercover investigations. You know, all of the lay health worker
mm-hmm.
issues, all of that, the whole range of attacks
mm-hmm.
that women's clinics around the country were under. And as I say, this was much broader than just the Federation. We had
mm-hmm.
representation from quite a few women's clinics. So one part of our program was to have a film called, I'm trying to remember it now, but it was, the film was on a maternity hospital.
Mm-hmm.
that had been shut down by the Greed Hospital that used it to raise funds,
mm-hmm.
and then once they got their funds, decided to shut down this little maternity
mm-hmm.
hospital. And we also had a speaker who was very moving to talk about, you know, what was happening with childbirth and
mm-hmm.
so forth. So I have to say that it was a very impulsive move on our part, and not a very well considered one, you know, as far as tactically speaking, because we felt very strong.
Mm-hmm.
We were strong. I mean, you know, we were all together.
Mm-hmm.
And the women in Tallahassee had a huge fight with the hospital
mm-hmm.
there, because they wouldn't give them any backup privileges.
Mm-hmm.
And so they had sued them for antitrust laws.
Mm-hmm.
And so they were, you know, pretty bitter,
mm-hmm.
you know, against this hospital, Tallahassee Memorial Hospital. So after this program, and here we were all very outraged at what we were seeing happening, we decided to stage an inspection of the Tallahassee Memorial Hospital. And so we took a busload of people. Not everybody participated. Some people, you know, opted not to do it. But 30 of us went upstairs and did an inspection. And there was a television crew there. They, I forget how they got wind of it, but they did. And we had talked to an attorney, and he told us that it was fine to go in as long as we left when we were asked to. You know, just if they say leave, you gotta leave. But if nobody says leave, well, you can go in. So that's what we did. We split up. Half went into the maternity ward, half went into the OB ward. And the half that went into the OB ward, I think they, I don't think anyone ever asked them to leave. They went in, they saw, they left. The whole thing took 15 minutes. The half of us that went into the maternity ward got in as far as the nursery. And we walked into the nursery, and this was all on film. I had it here. And the nurse asked us to leave. And we did, which was very clearly shown on the little film set. Based on that incident, 2 days later, they came out to where we were still meeting and arrested us for trespassing. So we went to trial. We lost, but fortunately we put up a bond. Then, not so fortunately, later on I decided to go out of the country. As part of going to Iran, I went to Iran. And so the judge retaliated by pulling in my bond. And I did have to go to jail for a few days. But fortunately, there was enough of a community uproar that I didn't have to go ahead and serve my sentence. But that's basically what it is. You know, but I ended up not having to be guilty.
Well, what counts if they find you guilty if you have the tape showing that you guys left when the nurse said leave?
That we were trespassing. It was a big joke. This trial. The judge just was very arbitrary. He was obviously against us. I mean, it was, you know, not, it wasn't hard to tell what was going to happen. And, but we did get it overturned.
You did appeal. No,
we appealed, and it's overturned. And as a matter of fact, the case is a very well-known case, partly for reasons that we care about, and also some legal points, you know.
We have rules on trespassing.
right. So,
what were you hoping to achieve when you guys went in there?
We were hoping to draw attention to the cesarean rate, because at that time, their cesarean rates had skyrocketed to 15%. I say that with some irony, because nowadays you would be thrilled to go to a hospital. Well, actually, there's one hospital in this country where you can go to that has a pretty low cesarean rate. Tallahassee Memorial Hospital. They still do. But the rest of the country, 20 to 30% is not unusual. You know, which is just outrageous. And this was the evil we were trying to draw attention to. But it, as I say, tactically it was not really a wise move, because the people of the town didn't understand it. They saw us as hurting the babies, and you know, just, I mean, it just made them feel like here were these out of town people who were just very insensitive to them and who were doing this. So mainly our defense consisted of community outreach. I mean, all the defendants spent all our time speaking before the the Breakfast Club and the La Leche League and the, you know, I mean, we talked to the cleaners and to the restaurant people and the gas station.
Everybody's fine.
Well, no, we ended up, believe me, we did win the Battle of the Hearts and Minds.
Oh, that's good.
But, you know, we lost in the courtroom.
What aspects of your involvement in the women's movement do you think were most effective?
By what?
By goals that you set, things that you wanted to change.
Oh, what kind of impact do you
think
that...
Yeah. What things worked the best?
I think the fact that self-help is international.
Mm-hmm.
I think that it's totally self... perpetuating, you know. Mm-hmm. I think that the concept of self-help is something that a group of women can get together and do what they want, you know. Like,
mm-hmm.
I mean, it's to me, it's very rewarding to pick up a international newsletter and read, you know, that women are doing self-help in Nicaragua, and I don't even know the women.
Mm-hmm.
Not even, well, I happen to know a lot in Nicaragua, that was a good example, because I do know those women. But I read about it in the Philippines or in Canada or, you know, and mm-hmm. It's happening. It's really happening. And it's as I say, it was designed that way. I mean, we knew that. I mean, we didn't get that going. I mean, we realized it. That's how we presented the idea. And the fact that it's... I mean, I don't know. I got a book in the mail today.
Where is it?
Well, we're coming in to meet the experts. And, you know, there's the letter. I mean, this is... You know? Oh, that's my letter. There's something there. Okay. I've been aware of your work for many, many years, going back to the early 70s, when I was involved in a group of women who started a woman-controlled reproductive health clinic in Milwaukee.
Mm-hmm.
You were among our models and idols. I want to thank you for your continued work with women's health. Anyway, I didn't even meet this woman until mm-hmm. a couple of months ago. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's something that has a multiplier effect. So I guess that, I mean, if you wanted to ask me very specifically, I think that's the most long-lasting and important thing.
What change in women's situation have you seen since you started doing work?
Nationally, internationally? I mean, I think it's really important to change it.
Yeah.
In Los Angeles?
Yeah, in Los Angeles, yeah.
In Los Angeles, it's very sad, I think. If we're talking about the women's movement in general.
Mm-hmm.
I think that, unfortunately, a lot of women think that the fight is over. They think they gained something. When in reality, in my opinion, we've all just been taken back to where we were, only with, you know, now it's garbed in a more, you know, seductive, well, it always has been. I mean, when I was 18, they didn't say, hey, we want you to be a breeder and, you know, and be the nuclear family so that you can help to support this military-industrial complex that we're setting up. I mean, of course they didn't say that. You know, it was the motherhood and, you know, I had all this belief, you know, that through working with my children, I was going to make the world a better place, right? By making my children be better. I see it today. Worse. Women who have babies now don't think it's enough to keep them warm and safe and well-fed and to love them and hug them and provide them with, you know, what they need. They think they have to teach them to read by the time they're 2 years old. You know, they do.
Mm-hmm.
It is so competitive. I mean, I don't know if you have any friends that have any little babies, but women are buying into this more than I ever even dreamed of buying into it. You know, so that I think is a big drawback. I think that we're sexual slaves just much more expertly. We not only fake orgasm, you know, but we also jump into bed. We live with the guy. We're modern women, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, no one likes being told that they're a sexual slave. They have to come to that realization, you know, obviously in the context of a larger framework that gives them support and mm-hmm. options, you know. What good is it going to do to tell a woman that, you know, I mean, she knows it, I mean, in her heart of hearts, I mean, you're not telling her anything. But I do think that we have less power and in bed than we did. I think we have a lot less power. I think that men and women are very alienated and in this society right this now. You know, I don't think it's just women, but that we're in a very corrupt, declining society.
So what do you think the greatest challenge is for the feminist movement now?
The feminist movement as a whole?
Yeah.
Well, certainly, if we're just speaking of the American feminist movement.
Yeah, just in the United States.
I think it's the biggest challenge is to integrate feminism with a worldview and to, what should I say? I don't know, to be feminist. I mean, I guess, you know, when we started calling ourselves feminists, it was very unpopular.
Mm-hmm.
That was not, it wasn't even unpopular, it was quaint. People call themselves women's liberationists or women's rights advocates, but they did not, you know, feminism. Well, that was a word that we plucked out of the old book, you know, history books. And we picked it out because we thought it meant to be more radical. We thought it meant more, you know, for reproductive rights
mm-hmm.
and things. And I'm not saying we were the ones that caused this to happen, but after we were calling ourselves feminists for a couple of years, it ceased to have that meaning. And now it just is, unfortunately, it doesn't mean that at all. It just means, I don't even know what it does mean nowadays, and you'd have to tell me what it means.
One's quite sure. It seems like.
Huh?
I don't think there is a definition of feminism anymore. So, when you traveled around, how do you think Los Angeles compared, the feminist movement in Los Angeles, compared to all the different places that you visited? Did all the big cities you visited have the same kind of splits and fractures? Would you have to go to, like, three different groups? Or?
Well, I think New York and Los Angeles probably have to, and maybe the Bay Area, have to hold the prize for being the most split and
mm-hmm.
fractured. You know, and I think that the little towns, women stuck more together because women...
Well, it's going to be all.
Yeah. Although there was sort of tended to be the NOW group and the Women's Center,
mm-hmm.
and they were not necessarily, you know, working
but beyond
together.
That, two ideological split.
Yeah.
Here, it's like, you know, rather than bunch of people.
I think it's hard in Los Angeles to organize politically.
Mm-hmm.
I think that the women's movement here reflected... I think that in each community, the women's group that came out of that mirrored their community. And I think
mm-hmm.
Los Angeles is very alienating. Mm-hmm. It's cold. It's which I say you got to watch your back at all times. It's not a very good place to organize politically. I frankly don't think we. I think we probably it helped us to be in the media center.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because in Los Angeles, as compared to other communities, the media is much more, you know, it's accessible and you can gain national
exposure.
It's so difficult to even get around here. The communities are so spread out, it's so hard to call people. And,
mm-hmm.
You know, it's just really hard. And I really think that that has been a big handicap for the women's movement in Los Angeles. And I think we have never really had, well, there's kind of a, I don't know, I don't want to say click, that's maybe too harsh a word, but an informal grouping of women who knew each other more socially,
mm-hmm.
and it was or based more on sexuality than on politics, per se. You know, and I think they've been able to derive some benefit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but I think if you're when you're saying women's movement, you're meaning all of us, not just that particular
mm-hmm.
group of people. I think it's been hard. I think it continues to be very hard. You know, cause, as I say, and well, in fact, today it's just even harder.
Do you remember when Now left the Women's Center? I can't
uh-huh.
remember if I asked
uh-huh.
you about that. Do you remember why they left?
Well, it was, there were several things going on there.
Mm-hmm.
One
because you were a member of Now, right?
Right. One was the, well, I was a member of
Yeah.
Not an in-group, by any
yeah.
means. There was sort of the gay-straight issue,
mm-hmm.
which some people in Now were very homophobic. I mean, they were maybe lesbians themselves, but they
mm-hmm.
were very afraid that this could be the issue that the women's movement would get killed on, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't want to necessarily say they were homophobic. It,
yeah.
They weren't all, by any means. But then the other was the Socialist Workers' Party. At a certain point, right at that time, well, actually, right at that time was when the abortion issue was at its height.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that the SWP saw an opportunity to capitalize on this. I mean,
mm-hmm.
it's part of their political, it's their thought out political approach.
Mm-hmm.
I have read enough of their work now to know that they actually think this is a legitimate way to operate. And that is that they join existing, you know, whatever
they infiltrate, whatever
yeah,
they can,
right.
try and take it over.
Yeah. Right. Okay. That's one of the things. That's how I put it. They infiltrate and try to take over.